Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Jesus has to be first in our lives. You know, it's really before everything. Before any family members, before our wives, before anything in our lives, Jesus has to be first. If we ever put anything in the way of that, we're putting him down. You know, he died on the cross for not us as a couple, me and my wife, or me and my family, or the people I work with, or my job. He died on the cross for me, just like he died on the cross for you. And so we have to give him everything, our allegiance, everything that we do, and we have to balance that with the love of our families and our friends and our neighbors, our coworkers, and everything else. And that's the rub. How do we do that? How do we get there? Well, making Jesus the first in our lives, making him first place in our lives, we have to watch out for one of the biggest things, and that's the world. Because the world will suck us away from that. Not just away from the Lord, but we want to supply our wives and our children with a little bit better way of life. We want to go on vacations and we want to do things together. So what do? We put in more time here, or we do a little bit more there. And we start looking to the world, and the world pulls us a little bit, because we can have that if we give in a little. We're going to see tonight where Lot did that. The world pulled Lot in. And we're going to see him, how he lost everything. In the Gospel of Luke 10:27, it says, "And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" It also says in Matthew 6:33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So that's where we have to start, right there. As we look to what Lot has gone through, we look at that and how easy it would be for each one of us today, no matter how strong we're in the Lord, no matter how much we're into the Word of God, the world can pluck us out if we don't hold fast to God. We've seen it. We've seen that in some great big pastors, people that walked with the Lord and knew the Lord, proclaimed Jesus Christ amazingly, had great followings, and yet they turn around and they would fall because the Lord would beckon them and they did not hold to the truths of God. They allow it in a little bit. It brings in, it beckons you, it calls you. If we do not make God first in our lives, then he will go to last place, just like everything else that we have in life. You know, if we let that thing go, if we let our relationships go with our wives or our husbands, they become the distant past. If we give up on our children, they go away. It's that thing we need to do by holding fast to what God has for us. Hold on to what we have. Hold on to God. Now, we're going to see an example of this tonight in the book of Genesis, in chapter 19, specifically. We're going to be there. But first, we're going to see the story, how it all began. This is a story about Lot. Lot was a man of the world. A man of the world. Lot was a man who compromised, procrastinated, and sold out to the world. And he did it in steps. Now we see the other side, and we're going to see a little bit of that, of Abraham. Abraham was a man who did not compromise or procrastinate. He was a man who wanted to please God. Now, he did fail in a lot of ways. We do. None of us are perfect. We all fall short. But as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord, as we fall, he picks us up because our eyes are still on him. And we see where Abraham, or Abram in this case, because it was before that he was called Abraham, Abram at this point still sought after God to do what God's will was, to be be used by the Lord. Scripture says Abraham was a friend of God. Wow. Now, tonight we're going to see where Lot ended up in his life. Of losing his wife, losing his son-in-laws, and unfortunately, sleeping with his daughters, which is amazing how far a man can be pulled into the world. But like so many of us people today, we are in churches and they are worldly, or we are worldly. We can be sitting out there and living in the world. We can walk in our ways and everybody thinks we're okay, but we're into things that we shouldn't be. We're doing things when nobody's around. We're going to see later how God sees everything. I don't care how secret you can be, how closed your closet is, God sees through us, each one of us. If he's in the details of our lives, he knows where we're doing and what we are. Now, how bad is this world getting to us? How is it pulling us in? And how bad is the Christian community being pulled into it? Today, us, how bad is that? Well, just look around. You can see the evidence. The best one I can point to right now is just look at the 2012 presidential elections. Who'd we vote in? As a nation, we voted in a president, by most accounts, a lot of Christian people who call themselves Christians, along with the nation, they voted for the killing of unborn babies, because that's what that man stands for. Homosexuality, because that's what that man stands for. Against Israel. And most of all, the worst of all of them is against God. We elected a president that's against God. Their agenda is to completely remove God out of everything in our lives to the point that we will be unable to utter the name of Jesus in prayer. It's already started. We have military chaplains that cannot use the name Jesus in any form of prayer. And it starts from the top. And that's because the world sucks these people away and sucks them out. And I say that because good-meaning Christians voted them that way. You know, we have the strongest majority in the nation as Christians if we would gather together and vote the right way. But the churches aren't teaching it. People aren't in the scriptures. They don't understand it. They don't see this because they're not reading the Word of God. But the Bible, for us who do read the Word of God, that's the great thing, and who do go to churches that want to learn what God has for us, want to walk in the Spirit of God, knowing that the Holy Spirit does reign on us, He does walk with us, He does love us, there is a difference there. And the Bible tells us differently too in the John's epistle of 1 John 2, 15, 16, and 17. And I'll read that to you. He says, "Do not love the world nor the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever." The nation is not, that we see, is not standing on these principles, on these truths at all. And it's just so sad to see that people get so wrapped up into worldly things that they completely lose out what God has for them. The blessings that we're going to have is going to be amazing. And they're not on this side of heaven. They're on the other side. Just because we become Christians, it doesn't mean we have a free walk. Sometimes things get tougher. They get rougher in life. Why would things happen? Why would loved ones die? Why would we lose our jobs? Why would this happen? But God knew before we were created that this was going to happen. We got to remember that. And He's into all the details of our lives. And we go back to James 1, 2, and it says, whenever we go through trials. Doesn't mean if or maybe. It's whenever, meaning you will go through them. And what does it do for us? It makes us stronger in Him. Because we trust and we go through these times. But tonight I have a question for you. Are you like Lot? Are you? Are you worldly, seeking the things of this world? Have to have one more thing at the house, or looking for something a little bigger, or got to have the new car? I love all that stuff. But is it a priority in your life? You know, there's people out there, if they see it, they want it. And they go after it. They put away the family. They put away the people around them. They don't care. And they go after what they want. See, I don't want to be like Lot. And surely you don't either. I want to be like Abram. I want to be a friend of God, seeking His ways. You know, I have a big sign that I made up. One day I was just sitting there in the house and I was doing some Bible study and I was just thinking through and I came up with this, and it's nothing new, it's nothing, it's whatever, but I made a big sign, stuck it on my wall in my study. And it says, I choose Christ. And I look at that every day because I go down there every morning and do my studies time and stuff, and I see that sign every day. And it reminds me, I choose Him first. I put here, I choose God. I choose Him first. And besides, what does the world have to offer? Really? I mean, there's a lot of great things out there, but what does it have to offer? If you seek the world, what do you get from it? Everything comes from the world is temporary, right? It all will burn up. It's gone. The Bible says it is temporal. But seeking the things of God are eternal. Everlasting, a peace with God. While we're in the midst of this craziness, we can have a peace beyond understanding. When we say that, when we pray for that, we really know that it can happen. That in the midst of somebody, you losing somebody or losing your job, that it gets crazy, you have a peace. I know, I've been through all of that. Besides losing loved ones, went to work one day and lost my job. What do? You know, I have God. I have Jesus in my heart. So it doesn't matter what happens out there. I can have a peace and a joy beyond understanding because I'm not sucked into the world. I'm sucked into Jesus. You know, one day we'll stand in front of God and receive everything that God has intended to give each of us. And you know, I'll be honest with you. Maybe it's a California term. It's going to blow our minds, the things we're going to get. We can't even imagine the blessings that are going to come upon us. And it's all because we said yes. And we said no to the world. Now, we can't see it now. Why? Because we are temporal people. We're only here for a term. We are flesh and blood. But believe me, it will happen. If you hold fast to the Lord and give up the world, you're going to see the blessings that God has for us. But back to our story. But here we see a man where his uncle is praying, interceding for him, where Abram is praying for his nephew Lot. And it all begins in Genesis 13. We're going to pick it up there in verse 10. It says, Lot lifted up his eyes and he saw all the valleys of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go to Zoar. Now, before this, as we know the story, most of you know this story, that they were having problems and strife running up between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsmen. And it was creating all kinds of strife between them. And Abram says, you know, there's no need for this. It's just going to get worse. Let's split camps. You, and which is neat on a man of Abram, trusting God, knowing the Lord was going to take care of him, turns to his nephew and says, you can go anywhere you want to go. Just go. And if you notice here, he looked and he saw. Do you see anywhere about him calling on the name of the Lord? Going to him at all in prayer? Trying to find out exactly where God wants him to go? How many times do we do things first and then ask God second? I'm really guilty of that. And you think you'd learn after a while. But, you know, it's so hard to do that when the need's now. Let's just take care of this and we'll go from there. God will be on our side. And then it doesn't work out. Then what do? You revert back. But he looks up and he sees. So he's doing it from his, not his soul to the Lord, but looking to the world. He's got the world's beckoning him and he can see it. So the first thing Lot did was to scope out the land. When Abraham called out the Lord and said to pick out any part of the land he wanted, he just started scoping out the land. Now, there's going to be 10 points that I'm going to try to catch tonight between now until it's over. And the first one, step one, is that Lot looked out and saw. He looked out and he saw. He looked with his eyes. Now, talking about men and talking about ladies, men, we do everything by sight. That's why that pornography is one of the worst things for us men. And it could be light pornography, it could be heavy stuff, it could be watching TV and they're selling a car and a girl walks by in a bikini. And it catches our eyes. And you can't sit there and say it doesn't. Because we are built on sight. Where the ladies are more on emotion. And they can think through things. Now, they get their own selves and their own troubles. But we're talking about a man here, and he looks up and he sees. And he sees what he sees, and he sees that beautiful land, that lush land. And out there are these lights. It's like today where people look to Las Vegas or Atlanta. And they see that, and all it is sin. But he sees it, and that's the world. But he sees that, so he goes towards there. And as we pick it up in 11, it says, so Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward. Thus they separated from each other. Abraham settled in the land of Canaan. Now get this. While Lot settled in the cities of the valley and moved his tents as far as Sodom. Now, he wasn't in Sodom at this time. He was outside of Sodom, and he's looking in. But he's stepping into the world. The world has now pulled him in. Step two, Lot started to move closer and closer to Sodom. First step is he moved towards Sodom. And he starts moving even closer and closer. Just like Lot, he wants to be part of it, but does not want to take any responsibility of it either. How many times have we caught ourselves that we want to be kind of into something, but we don't want to get caught at it? And that's what we see here with Lot at first. He goes out in this beautiful valley. Man, it's a great place for all of his cattle and his sheep and herds and whatever he has. But that's not the reason why he went. He went because of those lights over there. He went because of the sin that was over there was drawn. But he didn't want to get too close. He wanted to keep a little bit of distance. You know, there's a lot of us and a lot of, I say us, I don't want to say that, a lot of people in churches today that get up, they get dressed, and they show up at church. They pay their respects to God, but they never take what God is saying to them through the message and applying it to their lives. Are anybody here doing that? I'm not asking for hands. I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just throwing a check out to you. Is there times that you just come to church because you're supposed to and it's thing to do? Or are you here because your wife or here because your husband? Are you here because your mom and dad drug you here? Because if you are, you've got to watch out big time, because that's where the world starts pulling you away. You need to take in what you hear, to apply it to your life. Grow closer to Jesus. They never take it to their hearts, what they get. So changes can never happen within them. There was a gentleman that I got to come to a men's conference. In fact, we were showing the Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa. They did a big men's conference they have in October. We were doing it down in Arc City, and got this guy to come, and he got there, and he was there all day, and about three quarters into the day, and he just starts breaking down and crying. And he's just really broken his heart. It was just, you know, I mean, I hate to say that, but it was good to see, because I knew where he was. I knew what he did. You know, I just knew his lifestyle. And it was good to see. And he come up and he came back to the back and he talked to Mark, and Mark led him to the Lord. And I was standing right there and watched him, Pastor Mark Fry. And he led him to the Lord, and it was great to see. That was on Saturday. On Monday, I seen him back in town again where we lived in our little town of Burden. And it didn't take. The things he started on Monday and just continued doing his life, it touched him, but it didn't do nothing for him. He didn't take it within. It stayed here. It didn't go that 16 inches to the soul to bring it in. Lot was around Abram and watched, didn't he? He seen him make the altars. He watched him talk. He was around when the angels came to him the first time, when Jesus came to him. Lot was there. He witnessed it. It's not that he didn't know. He chose not to follow God. He wanted to follow the Lord. We can do the same thing. We may hear, but not listen. We may listen, but not take in. It needs to come in. It needs to flow through. It's sad to see people who do this, set their eyes on the world, and then see their lives end in disaster. I bet you have, just out of this fellowship, over the last 15 years or maybe more, that you have seen people do that. Fall away. And it hurts. It hurts to see that happen. Chapter 19. This is a step three, by the way. And Lot is sold out. It will be the heading of step three. Lot is sold out. Now, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening as Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. So what we see now is he is now moved from out in nowhere, seeing that light's moving close to Sodom, getting closer and closer, and now he's sitting at the city gate. What does that tell you? You guys, I'm sure, have been told before, what happens when a guy is sitting at the city gate? He's part of the government. He is bought and sold out to what they have going. He could be considered a judge. He is part of what's going on in that city. So not only is he just there and hanging out on the outskirts, no, he's in the middle of it, sold out completely. And that is not a place to be. But that's what he wanted. He wanted the things of the world. He wanted to be prominent in the things of the world. And so that's what he's got. And it goes on and says he's sitting there. Now he sees these two guys coming. You got to stop and think, how do you recognize them? Has he seen them before? Could these be one of those two angels that came with Jesus when they came to see Abraham? Because he sees them. And he jumps up and runs to him. And he bows down to him. And we'll pick it up here in verse 2. And he said, well, he bowed down to the face of the ground. He said, now behold, my lords, please turn aside into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet, and then you may rise early and go on your way. They said, however, no, but we shall spend the night in the square. So he knows now at this point in time, and we're going to call this step 4, knowing that you are in the world but not doing anything about it. At this point in time, we know that he knows he's in the world, that he's at a point where he should be doing something about it, but instead he's living with that because he knows how nasty and vile and wretched that place is, and yet he's a part of it. And he tries to take these guys in because he knows what's going to happen to them. And he tries to get them to come into the home with him. And they want to go to the square. And it picks up in 3. It says, yet he urged them strongly. He probably grabbed a hold of them. No, you're not staying in the square. You're staying in my home. So they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he prepared a feast for them and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. You know, Lot tried everything he could do to protect these men because he knew how bad the city he lived in, the world that pulled him in, how bad it was, and yet was willing not to do anything about it. We live in that type of world today. It is that vile. And we as men, leaders of the home, women, leaders of the home, mothers of our children, fathers of our children, we need to protect them. We need to keep them out of the world as much as we can. Not allowing it to pull in. Lot allowed it to pull in, and we're going to see tragedy after tragedy after tragedy because of his decision. In verse 4, it picks up here. Verse 4 to 7, it says, before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom surrounded the house, both young and old, all the people from every quarter. Meaning, almost every portion of that city, there was men from that portion of that city there. It'd be like here in Wichita at a house down the street, and everybody from every neighborhood in this town would be down there. Wasn't just a few, there was a lot. In 5 it says, and they called to Lot and said to him, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may have relations with them. But Lot went out to them at the doorway and shut the door behind him and said, please, my brothers, do not act wickedly. Lot tries to talk to these men. These men were homosexual men. Vile. He tried to reason with them. Tried to get them to understand. He calls them brothers. Sold out completely to the world. And he says, don't do this wicked thing. What was Lot doing there? It's amazing how easy we can be pulled and put into things that we should not even go into. One of the best things for me growing up as a Christian man, young Christian man, coming to the Lord at a later age in my life was a friend of mine. He wasn't a pastor. He was just a friend of mine from the church said to me that anything you do, once you've accepted Jesus Christ into your heart and you know He's there, anything you do, you drag the Holy Spirit with you. Anything we look upon men, we linger on, we drag the Holy Spirit with us. Anything we do emotionally, ladies, anything we do in that realm, we bring the Holy Spirit in with us. goes into verse 8. Now behold, I have two daughters who have not had relations with men. Please let me bring them out to you and do to them whatever you like. Only do nothing to these men, insomuch as they have come under my shelter, under the shelter of my roof. Lot was so deep into the world around him, he was willing to give up his daughters. We can get so wrapped up in the world, we will do things so bad because all we want to do is please ourselves. He went out to just to appease the men, give them anything they wanted to leave these other guys alone. You know, that's what the sins of this world will do to us if we allow it. Verse 9, it says, but they said, stand aside. Furthermore, they said, this one is an alien, and already he is acting like a judge. Now we will treat you worse than them. So they pressed hard against Lot and came near to break the door. Wow. Now these men have turned against Lot. The city, the men of the city does not have any respect for Lot at all. They don't care. Whatever they were going to do to the men in their minds, here they've threatened to do it worse to Lot. Lot has completely lost his testimony in anything. And that's a real hard thing. I'm not one on testimonies. And why? It's because most people who stand out and give testimonies, they embellish everything. I'm Italian. I can embellish anything. So I can tell you how bad and how nasty and how vile I was, and I can make it look and neat as a pie. But the truth is, I am vile and I am nasty, and it's only by the grace of God that I am now saved under Him. And it's only by His blood that covers me that my God, Father God, sees me as righteous because what Jesus did for me on the cross. That's it. Because I'm still Brad, human. And when we fall and we slip, we lose our testimony. The only thing I have is showing that, look what God has done for me. Jesus Christ died for me. I'm changed, and here I am. And then all of a sudden I cheat on my wife. What does that do? I can't say that anymore. Who's going to believe me? I'm out drinking. I call them 502s in Wichita. We got a DWI or whatever, or in California. But we get a DWI. You get something. Your testimonies are shot. The world wants to take that and throw your testimony away. Remember, Satan rules the world. And he's doing anything he can to destroy you. Because if he destroys you, he will destroy your wife. And he will destroy your kids. And he will win. It's so important that we stay out of the world. That we hold fast to what God has for us. Our testimony is the only thing that we have that actually will stand behind what we can read to them out of the Word of God. If you guys knew that I've gone through, but after I came to the Lord, and I cheated on my wife, but I've reconciled with her, and I've gone through and I got drunk a couple times, and I got picked up and got thrown in jail, but I'm okay now, I went through AA. And I've done this and I've done that. Would you stand there and listen to me and hear what I have to say and try to explain what God can do for you when I won't even allow Him to do that in my own life? Lot blew it. Completely. Sold out to the world. I believe at this point in time, they would have killed him. If they were going to push him so hard they were going to break in the door, he would have been dead. But in verse 10, but the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. I love that. But God. You know, we can slip and fall. We can stumble. We keep our eyes on Jesus in the midst of that. He is there. He is willing to forgive us. He will pick us back up. And that's what he did here with Lot for a time being. But we'll see how his heart never changed. They struck the men, verse 11, they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves trying to find the doorway. The two angels reached out, pulled him in, got him in the house, made sure he was safe. Then he goes up and they blind the men outside so they can't see, can't get around, they don't have to worry about him. But look at what it says. How sin, how the world pulls us in so bad that we continue to go after it. It says here, so as they wearied themselves trying to find the doorway, they were still seeking to get in the door. Even after being struck blind, these men were so deep into their sins, they were still pursued to get into the door and after these men. It's amazing how far we can get ourselves that way. I know that we have a gentleman we're praying for right now who's really having a problem with drugs. He's actually a heroin addict. I've never met him. We pray for him from a distance. It's through another friend of ours who goes to our church, and he's texting with him, sending him a Bible, and we're working. We're praying for this young guy. The reports back we get, he does real good, and then he falls flat again. He does real good, and he falls flat again. The problem is, and we've talked about it, and you probably know, he has never received Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. He's still hanging in the world thinking he can do it through the world. It'll never happen. It's only through Jesus Christ that we're pulled out of this world, that we don't have to walk in the ways of the world and be in the sinful parts of that. But these men, even struck blind, are still trying to get in that door. It's just amazing to me. Verse 12, and then the two men said to Lot, who else have you here, a son-in-law, and your sons, and your daughters, and whoever you have in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So they asked them now, who else do you have here? Who else needs to be saved? See, he doesn't know that there was a deal struck. We do because we know the story. And the deal was struck between who? God and Abram. And the deal was is that if they would save 10 or less, if 10 or less would come, they would save them. So he's asking, you have more people here. And he goes out to find out. And they're trying to seek and see. Hey, do you got more? He really doesn't. He hardly has anybody. His wife and his two daughters. And what we get out of 13 is God. For we are about to destroy this place because their outcry has become so great before the Lord that the Lord has sent us to destroy it. God sees and hears everything. He knows all things. Like we talked earlier, he knows everything that we do, everything that we think, everything that we utter. He knows it all. God knows everything. You can't hide from sin. If you are a believer or a non-believer, you cannot hide your sin from God. God sees and hears and knows everything. And there's so many people that are walking around out there thinking they can just get away with this. They may get away with it between us humans, but they won't get away with it before God. He knows it all. The good thing is God loves you so much, He wants you so much, that all we have to do is turn to Him. In the midst of all of this, we just turn to Him. And Lot should have stayed away from Sodom and Gomorrah, but he did not. We see how bad it gets. It's getting worse now. In just a few verses, his life is completely turned upside down. Almost to the point, if you really think about it, sickening. Step 6, Lot had no integrity in the world either. Verse 14 picks up and it says, Lot went out and spoke to his son-in-laws who were to marry his daughters and said, Up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy the city. But he appeared to his sons-in-laws to be jesting, as the NSAB says. Some of yours says joking. It was a joke to them. Where was his integrity? As the father-in-law, the father of these two daughters and these son-in-laws coming in. It was a joke to them. What integrity did he have? He had none. He lost it all. We need to be holy as God is holy. We need to walk in His ways. God is so good to us. He is so good to us, and yet we can fall short so fast. And we see Lot, who never even looked back. He just continued in the path of destruction. 15, it just picks up here. It says, When morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, Up and take your wife and your two daughters who are here. There's nobody else. And you will be swept away in the punishment of the, or you will be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he hesitated. So the men seized his hand and the hand of his wife and the hands of his two daughters. For the compassion of the Lord was upon him. And they brought him out and put him outside the city. Lot hesitated. Can you imagine? You're so far into his sins, you're so far into your world that you have the opportunity to get out and you hesitate. He lingered is another word you can use here. He lingered. Lot had to be pushed and dragged out of the city. He had to be grabbed by the hand and his wife's hand and the two daughters and dragged out of the city. Lot was in the world so long and so deep that he had to be taken out by force. And why? Because of God's grace. Because God was upon him to bring him out. That's just amazing as it is. Me or you, if we were in that position, we'd squash him like a bug. But not God. God loves us so much that he'll do anything he can to pull us back to him. In 17 through 24, it just picks up in the story. It says, When they had brought them outside, one said, Escape for your life. Do not look behind you. And do not stay anywhere in the valley. Escape to the mountains, or you will be swept away. But Lot said to them, Oh no, my lords. I mean, can you imagine stopping and going to argue? Now behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have magnified your loving kindness, which you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, for the disaster will overtake me, and I will die. Now behold, this town is near enough to flee to, and it is small. Please let me escape there. It is not small, that my life may be saved. But he said to him, Behold, I grant you this request also. not to overthrow the town of which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there, before the name of the town was called Zoar. The sun had risen over the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. You know, God completely destroyed it. You know, you've heard it said many times, especially with San Francisco and a few other places, that we have so much decadence going on, so much sin going on. Now it's nationwide, but you know, they said, you know, God's going to have to forgive Sodom and Gomorrah if he doesn't destroy San Francisco with all the homosexuality that's going there. But there's going to be a time where God is going to destroy. And it's getting closer. I do believe we are in the last days. And he's going to pull us out. And the people who are going to be left behind are going to be going through utter destruction. And then 25, and he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground, completely, 100% annihilated it, taken it out. 26, but his wife from behind looked back. She became a pillar of salt. This is step 8. Lot lost his wife to the world. If you get into the Hebrew context, this means she didn't just look back. She turned to go back. It's a thing of she's being pulled along maybe by her husband and she broke away and she was going back. Her heart completely turned from anything that God might have for her. And God said that was it. And as the text says, he turned her into a pillar of salt. So it wasn't just a glance, the world. It was a turning to, facing of, seeing, looking, going, acting towards that got her into that position. 27 says, now Abram arose early in the morning and went to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley. And he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land ascended like the smoke of a furnace. Could you imagine his heart not knowing about his nephew? Knowing all those people that just died? Thus it came about, 29, when God destroyed the cities of the valley, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot lived. Another point, he was there. He was part of that world. Pretty sad thing. But God keeps his promises. He made a promise to Abraham and kept it. And yet he should have just destroyed him because his heart was never towards God. But God will keep his promises. You know, it's that same thing if you have somebody in your family that is going through something, who has rejected the call of Christ or is just living in the world and you're praying for them. Don't stop praying. At all. You know, I met my wife Melody, and she had been in many, many years already prior to that of praying for her father. And he was an alcoholic. He was one of those nice guys, though. Wasn't the ones you'd see on the corner. He worked really hard. He worked all the time. I mean, he wasn't a workaholic. He just worked. He was a good guy, provided well. He just drank. And she prayed for over 20 years. And now he no longer drinks and he walks with the Lord. See, God will honor the promises. You pray for him, you talk to him, and you keep praying. And a lot of times you just live by testimony. That's how they came to the Lord. We moved out from California out here 20 years ago this month, last month, actually, in December. And they were still out in California. They live here now in Kansas. We got them to move out here. But they would come out and visit. And they were retired, so they'd come out and visit 6-8 weeks at a time. Well, in our household, we have that whole thing that we truly believe. This is our house. This is our square. And if you're in it, you do what we do. We go to church on Sundays. I don't care if you like to or not. You're going to church. So we'd get them up, and they'd grump around, and we'd get them up earlier because we knew it was going to take them a little longer. And we'd get them in the car, and we'd take them to church. And then they would get, the first thing church was out, man, they'd be out the back door, and they'd be in the car waiting for us. And we'd go around, visit everybody, and talk with everybody, and then we'd go out and take them out to lunch. Well, we did that for the 4 weeks, and then he would leave for two of those, out of the eight, they'd leave 2 weeks and go to Nebraska, where his brothers and sisters live. They all go to church. So they get him up every morning on Sunday morning. They take him to church. Then he comes back and they stay 2 more weeks with us. We take him to church and then they go home. Well, they did that one round of 8 weeks. And then they, about 4, 5, 6 months later, they showed up. And we started in the same thing. They went to church with us in a little bit. Well, they went to church up there, went to church with us. They went home. They got up the next Sunday and they're supposed to be doing something that they don't know what they're supposed to do. So they look at each other and say, I think we're supposed to go to church. They didn't know anything about Jesus Christ because they've been sitting in the back the whole time. But you know what? They got up and said, where are we going to go? Well, there's been an evangelism thing going around. Every twice a year, they come by and they drop this card off with a church right around the corner. So they got this card out, and they took off and went to the church, and that pastor led them to the Lord. And they both now walk with the Lord. Dad no longer drinks. Give it up. Mom stopped smoking. I mean, it was a trial. It was a time for them. But we've watched them grow in the Lord. And it's because of her prayers for 20, 25 years to get them there. And so you never stop. You pray for our loved ones. We pull them out of the world through prayer. We drag them to us. We don't save them. God does. But it's through our testimonies, what we do and how we act, that they can see something in it. And it was the same thing when he went up to his brothers and sisters. They seen a difference in them. They didn't know what it was all about, but they knew that they needed to belong to a club because that's what we did. We belonged to this church club called Calvary, and they needed one. And now they're in the whole big club, the club of Jesus Christ. 30. Lot went up from Zoar, and stayed in the mountains, and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to stay in Zoar. And he stayed in a cave, he and his two daughters. So he didn't want to go to the mountains. He wanted to go to Zoar. Now he's out of Zoar because he's afraid of Zoar, and he went back up to the mountains. There's a guy that's in the world that doesn't know what he wants. And that's what the world does. It's a place of confusion. You make rash decisions. You do different things. You make dumb mistakes. And this here is the sad part of everything. This is step 9. Lot's daughters were lost to the world. They've lost his wife. He's lost his son-in-laws. He lost his wife. Now he's losing his two daughters. Then the firstborn said to the younger, "Our father is old, and there is not a man on earth to come into us after the manner of the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and let us lie with him, that he may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. On the following day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also. Then you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve our family through our father." So they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. Talk about being blinded by the world. That was Lot. To the point to allow this to happen. Look what happens when we look towards the world. Men, single mothers. How we drag our children into the world. And we wonder what happened. I had a real struggle. I lost my first, I probably already told you all this, my first wife, I lost her back when I was 21 and she was 19. She passed away of spinal meningitis. Left me with a 28-month-old son. I was a single dad for 11 years before I remarried, and I married Melody. She married two bachelors. But I didn't come to the Lord until I was 27. So my son was living in the world. And it took years after us getting back together and after we got married and me walking with closer and closer to the Lord, it took years to try to overcome what the locusts had eaten in my son. It was a real hardship on her. And we worked a lot and we went through a lot of struggles. And he did come to the Lord. And there's stories about that that's just amazing too. But it took a long time. It took a lot of struggle. And I look back, and the only one who can blame that on is me. See, I had some opportunity early in my life to come to the Lord, and I passed it. I had family members talking to me about Jesus Christ, and I made fun of them. And I paid for it, but my son paid for it. And that's why it's so hard for us. That why the world beckons us, what it does to the families. What it does and how it destroys, and how easily it does. It looks good out there. All the things that the world presents to us is all towards to make our body feel good, no matter what it is. Sex, drugs, alcohol, working out too much at the tanning booth, whatever you want to do, whatever we're trying to do to make ourselves better, it's all good. It all makes the body feel good. And that's the problem with the world, the sin of the world. It looks good. That's what's the problem with Lot. When he saw the lights, he saw which was good, which is destroying you. And it will destroy you. It will take everything that's good to life that we know of it, especially through Christ, and it will take it away from us. That way, that fast. I really believe that if they had been walking with God, if Lot, the dad, would have been walking like his uncle and had known God, I think the stories would have been different in here. I don't think that this would have never been done. In the commentaries I read, that, in fact, it was under Raul Ries that said it, but this is the first act of father-daughter incest recorded in the Bible. And now it's, unfortunately, rampant. It's sickening, what I was telling you about. What goes on is sickening. What happened to them is sickening. And the last step, number 10, as we wrap this up, in 33 to 30. 6, and then we'll wrap up in the last two verses after that. It says here, 33 to 36. Back up a little. So they made their father drink wine that night, and their firstborn went and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she rose. On the following day, the firstborn said to the younger, "Behold, I lay down last night with my father. Let us make him drink wine tonight also, then you go in and lie with him, and that we may preserve our family through our father." The worldly way of thinking. So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay down with him. And he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. We'll pick up in 36. Thus both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. Lot was so blinded by the world that he didn't even know what went on. in 37 and 38 is, if you miss it, it's unfortunate, because this is amazing blessings by God. The firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. As for the younger, she was bore a son and called his name Ben-Ammi. He is the father of the sons of Ammon to this day. Both of these tribes were cursed by God because of the way they were created. But God's grace and God's love . We have Ruth, who was a Moabite. And Ruth is in lineage of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is the God of restoration. God is the one who will heal, who will repair, who will take us. He is a God who promises, and His promises will come true. He promises to love us unconditionally. He promises to hold us above everything forever if we just turn to Him. If we let the world be the world and stay away from it, not be called and dragged into it. We need to be careful of this world. We need to live in the world, and you guys all heard this. This is the understanding of it. This is between you and Abram and Lot. We live in the world, but we must not what? Be of the world. Because I'll tell you, we get closer and we get closer and we get closer to that line if we let the world come into our lives. One little quick other story that I'll tell you, and then we'll call her up for the night. There was a little girl riding with her dad, and you might have heard the story already. She was riding in the back seat, and he looks in the mirror and looks up there, and she's standing up in her seat. And he says, I want you to sit down back there. Put that seatbelt on. She said, no. And he drives a little bit longer, and he says, I told you, I want you to sit down back there and put that seatbelt on. She said, no. So the third time, he says, okay, I have to tell you one more time. I'm going to pull over, and I'm going to give you a spanking. I'm going to put you in the seat, and I'll put you in the seatbelt. So she stands there for a few seconds, doesn't say anything, finally sits down, puts her seatbelt. And then she says, hey, Dad. He goes, yeah, what? He goes, I may be sitting down, but in my mind, I'm standing up. That's what the world does for us. See, the world is an internal thing. More than we do it externally for ourselves to make ourselves feel better or whatever the reason is, but it's an internal state. Because God's eternal, and He lives in us, and He gives us eternity. And when we have that battle within us, we're saying to God, okay, God, I may be sitting, but inside I'm standing up. I want to do what I want to do, God. And there's that battle that battles within us. I imagine everybody here knows the Lord, especially Wednesday nights. I love that. Because you people are here because you want to be here. And what a blessing that is. Another blessing to me is you're here and your pastor isn't. And that's a bigger blessing than anything, that as another pastor sees that. Doesn't matter what goes on, you're here Wednesday nights. You're here to receive the word. So I'm not going to have to give an invitation, but I would like to ask you, are you a Lot? Are you an Abram? Maybe you're dealing with some things. I'm not going to have you stand up. I don't want you to come forward. You know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You gave your life to Christ. He loves you and He wants you and He wants to hear from you. The most thing He wants to do is just, He wants to hear you say, please forgive me of. You will. God loves us so much that He allowed His Son to die for us and give us everything. Everything we can imagine. It's not nice on this side, but it's going to be beautiful on the other side. So as we look at Lot again, you read it over. I encourage you to continue reading your gospel and reading the Word of God. Go back to it every once in a while and see where you are in your life, in your walk. Are you leaning towards the world? Are you steadfast with God? God wants to hear from you. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We give it all to you, God. We thank you that you're into details of our lives, that you go before us and you show us through your word, Lord, how both sides of it works. If we walk in the world and how lost we can be and how far it can pull us away from you, that to the point we're in so deep, we're in so far that we don't even see it ourselves. But yet you see the other side where even though when we stumble and we fall, but if as long as we seek you, God, you're always there for us. You love us so much that you'll do anything you can to preserve us, to hold us fast, to love us. God, I just thank you. I thank you for this evening. I ask you to be with all of us who have to travel home tonight, God. Give us travel mercies. Keep us safe. Get us ready and prepared for tomorrow, Lord. I ask you that you would touch each one, have the Holy Spirit reign right now, tonight, on each one of us, and bring somebody into our lives tomorrow, whoever it will be, the banker, the grocer, anybody, the checker at the market, that needs to hear the word from you. And I ask you to use us, boldly use us. Give us the boldness to reach out, to share your wonderful gospel. God, the redemption that you have and provide for us is amazing. How we're dead and we're dead to sin, but yet you and through you we have life and we are life. Lord, just guide us. Show us. Walk with us. Lord, and if there's anyone here tonight that needs to give something up to you, God, let them do that now. Let them just reach down in and say, okay, Lord, this is it. It's not for a time. It's not for a season. It's forever. I want to give this to you now. And Lord, I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for forgiving me as I sit here. Lord, I just praise you. I worship you. I love you, Lord. I thank you for calling me. I give you everything. Everything that I am. Lord, we lift it all to you. In your holy and blessed name, in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. And all the saints say, amen. God bless.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whosoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, "Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.